News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great day today, whether you're listening live Saturday afternoon on News Radio 92.3 and 95.3 and AM 1620 and online and 15 other ways that you can listen live, or whether you're listening to the podcast version of the show, which you can download anywhere you get your podcasts and listen anytime you want from anywhere you want in any way that you want. No matter what, how you are listening to my words right now, we hope that we're going to make your day just a little bit better by bringing you up to date on everything in entertainment and pop culture. And we've got a big show today, and joining me to make it even bigger is my co-host, Jeremy Branch. Welcome, Jeremy.
It's that time of year again, Julio, and I am excited to be here.
It is maybe one of the biggest weekends in entertainment that doesn't involve the release of a Marvel movie.
This is true.
And I'm being just a little bit sarcastic about that. But yeah, it's the Oscar weekend. We have the Oscars coming up on Sunday. One of the last times they will still be on terrestrial broadcast television. I think ABC has them for, I want to say through the 100th annual, which is in 3 years. And then it all moves to YouTube, which is insane, but is an actual thing that's really happening here in this world. But for right now, still on broadcast television, so you can watch it locally here in Pensacola on WAR. I believe you can get it on Hulu as well. And we're going to be talking about the awards. We're going to kind of give you predictions. If you're going to an Oscar party, or if you are using one of these, what are they, the prediction markets, that where you can bet on these things? Is that how they legalize this?
You got Couchsurfing Market, Hard Rock Bets. There's a couple different ways to go.
So if you're placing wagers, we take no responsibility for if you take our advice and then lose on your wager. That's your problem, not mine.
100%.
And if you have a gambling problem, what is the number you call? 1-800-DON'T-GAMBLE or something like
gamble.
That. Yeah, I know there's a number. I know when they, because I've seen these gambling commercials on social media and on YouTube, on videos where they come and bet and everything's going to be great and you're going to have so much fun and you're going to come and bet. By the way, if you have a gambling problem, call this number.
Yeah, 1-800-LOST-BIG.
Yeah, it's something like that. It's something like that. But yeah, so you hear them on podcasts too, not on our podcast, because we don't have any advertising on our podcast. Although if you wanted to advertise on our podcast, you know, we could talk. We could have that conversation.
Absolutely.
I guarantee you could reach tens of people.
Mm-hmm.
Tens.
Guaranteed.
Tens, not tons, just to be clear that I'm speaking correctly. at any rate, so again, no responsibilities here. We're going to be talking about, who we think should win, who we think will win, and kind of getting into some of the justification behind some of those things and all that. We're not going to go through every single category because we've only got an hour. They have what, like 16 hours on the actual show?
Yeah, about.
Or does it just seem like that? So at any rate, we're going to go through kind of the 10 major categories. But before we do that, I wanted to very briefly talk about, we have a new category added this year. And that is Best Casting. It's an award that goes to the casting director for the film. And it basically says, you know, this is the person that did the best job finding the right actors for the right roles for this movie. Which I think is kind of an overdue award to be presenting. We're going to get another overdue award in a couple of years, and that being for stunt coordination. That may be even more overdue than the casting award, but that hasn't come into play just yet. But this casting award will be awarded for the first time this Sunday. And so to start off talking about that, the nominees for the award, it's kind of going to sound very similar to half the Best Picture Award nominees, because there's 10 Best Picture Award nominees. All five of these films were nominated for Best Picture. The nominees are Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, and Sinners. Now, do you have any strong feelings about this one, Jeremy?
I think that Sinners is a really strong contender there. I think everybody in that film gives really good performances. I also feel like the most recent entry into the Knives Out series, the name of it's escaping me right now.
Wake Up Dead Man.
The fact that it wasn't not, yes, Wake Up Dead Man. I feel like its omission from the list is kind of a glaring absence. However, it's not nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, and not nominated for Best Casting either, for that matter.
Yeah, right, right.
Right. So do you have a pick here, either what you think is going to win or what should win out of these?
I feel like Sinners is probably going to hit both of those for me. I think it's got the best cast of the ones listed, and I think it's going to probably win.
I agree. I think that there could be an argument made for one battle after another just in the finding Chase Infinity, who was amazing in that film and is really the heart of that film. And it's ridiculous that she was not nominated for her acting in that film. She was kind of an unknown. So for a casting director to find somebody like that for this important role is pretty impressive. However, I think you have some of that in Sinners as well. You have a discovery like Miles Caton.
Awesome.
Yeah. Did I mispronounce this? Is it Caton?
I think you're right. Real quick, I also think that if the secret agent were to sneak in and win this, it would be incredibly impressive because if I'm not mistaken, and I don't know a whole lot of Brazilian cinema, but when you look at the cast of this film and the extras and everything, these are very real people. They didn't lean on the big marquee stars like they did in several of these other films. So there's a real organicness to the cast in it, but I don't know that that's got the kind of shot that the other two were discussing do.
Yeah, and see, that's why I would say one battle after another is not as favored as Sinners is in this category, because I think that one battle after another outside Infinity relies very heavily on already very well-known actors that I don't feel like had to go through a casting agent process to get cast in this film. There's no way that
everybody wants to be in a PTA movie.
There's no way that Leo and Benicio del Toro and Sean Penn had to go through a casting process for this film.
No shot.
It didn't happen. Versus Sinners, yeah, we know that Michael Jordan and Ryan Coogler have a long relationship, but I feel like everybody else in the film, up to and maybe even including Haley Steinfeld, had to go through a casting process.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, so I feel like Sinners is the both the odds-on favorite to win, and I think the most deserving film in the group. We're going to move on to another category that I think is kind of the fact that we're even talking about this is we're only talking about it because the winner is such a lock in this category, and that's Best Original Song. The nominees are Dear Me from Diane Warren Rentless, music and lyrics by Diane Warren, who is the Susan Lucci of the Oscars. She's been nominated like 18 times and never won. Golden from K-pop Demon Hunters, music and lyric by EJ, Mark Sonnenblick, Jungkook Kwak, Yuhan Lee, Hyodong Nam, Jong Hoon Seo, and Teddy Park. And this is why I'm not giving out this award personally, because I would mingle every name in it. I Lied to You from Sinners, music and lyrics by Raphael Sadiq and Ludwig Göransson. Sweet Dreams of Joy from Viva Verde, music and lyrics by Nicholas Pike. And Train from Train Dreams, music by Nick Cave and Bryce Dessner, and lyric by Nick Cave.
I didn't hear that.
So yeah, a few names in here, obviously, but does anybody really believe that Golden is not going to win this?
You and I had a pretty interesting conversation off air about what constitutes a best song and whether or not the way that it's used in the movie matters.
Uh-huh.
I think Golden has proven to be just this juggernaut culturally in a way that I can think of very few other movies and films ever having this kind of impact.
I would compare it to Lose Yourself in 8 Mile. I would compare it to Purple Rain.
Yeah, both good comparisons. I was not surprised, but the serendipity between it being released the same year as the Winter Olympics happening and it being the official theme song of the Winter Olympics, like that's international exposure in a massive way.
Yeah. Now, I won't lie to you. I think I Lied to You is a great song, and I think it means a lot to the movie and maybe means more to the movie than Golden means to K-pop Demon Hunters. But I think the overall impact and the fact that Golden is such a hit outside of the movie, it just makes Golden a lock. I don't think there's even, and I think it deserves it too.
Yeah.
We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. I was a ghost, I was alone, ha, 두어진, ha, 기속에. Given the throne, I didn't know how to believe I.
the queen that I'm meant to be. I live two lives, try to play both sides, but I couldn't find my own place. Caught a problem child, cause I got too wild, but now that's how I'm getting paid. Could that be on stage? I'm done hiding, now I'm shining like I'm gonna be. We dreaming hard, we came so far, now I believe. We're going up, 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 it's our moment. You know together we're going, gonna be golden. Up, up, up with our voices, going to get you so on it. Gonna be golden.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz, and my co-host, Jeremy Branch, is on the line with us. You know, I know, Jeremy, I just finally watched K-Pop Demon Hunters like a week or so ago, and you and I had a lot of offline conversation about it. Really liked the movie, and I know you were kind of distressed at my take that Golden is not the best song in the movie.
Which, okay, it's the second best, fair enough. But when you list every single other song in the movie as being better, I have to question your good faith argument.
Okay, first of all, I did not say that. I did name four or five that I thought were better, in fairness, but that being said, like over the past week, I gotta acknowledge that song's a bop.
It really is good.
It is the song. As much as I thought some of the other songs were better, that's the one that has been stuck in my head.
Yeah. And yeah, you know what it reminds me of a little bit is a Sia song.
I guess I could see that.
Yeah. She's one of the kind of songwriters turned pop stars, similar to EJ, that was finally able to kind of like shed the hiding behind other musicians and showcase her actual range. And if you think of a song like Chandelier, mm-hmm. the way she'll climb that scale and then just like jump up octaves and you're like, holy cow, that is amazing. So yeah, when EJ hits that like I'm born to be line and it just soars, goosebumps, man.
Yeah. Well, and so I play that song not just because we were discussing the Academy Award nominations for Best Original Song right before the break, but because we're also going to go into the other award that, like, maybe more than just about any other, there's one more we'll talk about later. It seems to be, like, the biggest lock of this year's Academy Award nominations. Of course, the Academy Awards coming up on Sunday, if you don't already know this. So Best Animated Feature. Nominees are Arco, Elio, K-Pop Demon Hunters, Little Amelie or the Character of Rain, and Zootopia 2. Now, Zootopia 2 made a lot of money. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it's very good. I actually haven't seen it yet. It just hit streaming. I probably will try to watch it the next week or so.
Have you seen Zootopia?
The first one I loved.
Yes. I haven't seen any of these animated movies other than K-Pop Demon Hunters. Full disclosure. So anyways, yeah. Go ahead.
So, but again, like, K-Pop Demon Hunters is just this international phenomenon. It is, yeah. You know, it is a really great movie. It is very solid overall. It is very moving. It really grabs your attention right from the start and holds it throughout the movie. The animation is gorgeous. The storyline is great. You know, I think it's one of the better movies of the year, animated or otherwise. And there is no doubt whatsoever in anybody's mind that this is the film that's going to win the Best Animated Feature Oscar.
It's like, just interesting to jump from an animated movie like Flow to something like K-Pop Demon Hunters. And this is not to take away from what Demon Hunters is. I think it's incredible. Echo everything you said. It just doesn't feel as positioned for the Academy as something a little more outside.
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying, but I think when you're talking about Best Animated Feature, the overall, if you look back at the winners, and I'm actually pulling up the list of winners of this award over the year, it is kind of a mix of like artier movies like the last couple of years, Flo, The Boy and the Heron, Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio. But you go back before that, Encanto, Soul, Toy Story 4, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Coco, okay, yeah. Zootopia, Inside Out, Big Hero 6, Frozen, Brave, Rango, Toy Story 3. You know, the majority of the awards in this category are big crowd pleasers.
Are Disney and Pixar, it sounds yeah. like, and well-deserved. Great, yeah. great stuff.
I mean, if you're looking at the overall here, the only other ones that I would say that have won are like that are the more artsier choices in the nominations are you go back to 2002, which is the second year that this award existed. Spirited Away won that year.
Awesome movie.
And then Wallace and Gromit: The Curse of the Were-Rabbit won in 2005. And
oh, fun.
You know, Wallace and Gromit, that's still pretty populist.
It is.
You know, yeah, don't get me wrong. It was up. It was a year where we didn't have a big Disney or Pixar film nominated that year. The other nominees were The Corpse Bride and Howl's Moving Castle, which, you know, either one of those films would have been a legitimate winner too.
Yeah.
But yeah, so, you know, this does tend to go to a lot of more populist films and a lot of more films that are widely seen. And in fact, there was a big debate the last couple of years. Like we could have seen that award just as easily go to Inside Out 2 last year, or The Wild Robot, which was a beautiful movie. Despite awesome. Being a very mainstream movie, but it went instead to Flo. Same thing 2 years ago. Like, it wouldn't have been shocking to see that award to go to Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Instead of the Boy and the Heron. So, you know.
And you going back a little further does totally counter my argument, which is obviously something a little more short-term. In the tradition of going back to the year 2000, it actually seems like K-Pop Demon Hunters kind of perfectly fits into that slot.
Yeah, so you know, again, we take no responsibility if you place bets based on our advice and you don't win. But on the flip side, I think if you're going in some kind of pool where you have to name as many winners as possible, and you do not name K-Pop Demon Hunters as the winner for Best Animated Feature, you are asking to lose.
And you know, also while we're on the topic of that, we take no responsibility unless you win, at which point you owe us 30%.
I agree. Each.
Yeah.
We're going to move on. We're going to move on to the screenplay categories. And I honestly think, again, this is one where there doesn't seem to be much argument or disagreement over what is going to win or for that matter, what should win in these categories. These two films have won at pretty much every award out there, and they're very almost definitely locks to win for on Sunday night when the Oscars are handed out. So Best Adapted Screenplay, the nominees are Begonia, Frankenstein, Hamnet, One Battle After Another, and Train Dreams. And I don't think there's any real argument here. Like, the two most talked about films of the year as far as awards conversation go are going to be the ones that take these two home. One of them is nominated an original, and one of them is nominated an adapted. And adapted, it's obviously One Battle After Another.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it's up against some strong other screenplays there. And you, all these films are Best Picture nominees in this category. So, you know, that's something to consider, but there's just no contest. This is going to be Paul Thomas Anderson's award to take home. You know,
there's more to it than simply just this movie specifically. And it's something and that is like longevity of careers, how the Academy perceives future opportunities for these people, and the fact that Paul Thomas Anderson has hovered around so many of these awards for so long and not taken home very many. I do believe his year, at least for adapted screenplay.
Yeah, I believe his only previous Oscar is for screenplay as well. I believe he won screenplay for There Will Be Blood. I'm not sure that he's won any others besides that, but I may be wrong. I'd have to double check. But that being said, there's a couple other past Academy Award winners in this category. You've got Guillermo del Toro for the screenplay for Frankenstein. You've got Chloe Zhao for co-writing Hamnet. So there is a history of some Academy Award winners in this category, but I just don't think there's any argument in this category whatsoever.
No, agreed.
Same in Best Original Screenplay. The nominees are Blue Moon, It Was Just an Accident, Marty Supreme, Sentimental Value, and Sinners. Okay, so we've got three Best Picture nominees in this category. We've also got Blue Moon was also nominated for Best Leading Actor. It was just an accident, very well received. Sentimental value also, both very well received foreign language films. But this is Sinners, man.
You know, as much as I love Sinners, and I do, I'm on record saying it's not an adapted screenplay and that Robert Rodriguez is not getting any credit for it.
Now,
it's a little crazy.
I mean, that's like saying you're going to like go out and give the Oscar for some grindhouse feature for Pulp Fiction screenwriting.
I mean, that's actually fair.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, there's some obvious influences worn on the sleeve here, but there's also obvious influences worn on Paul Thomas Anderson's sleeve, on Quentin Tarantino's sleeve, on Martin Scorsese's sleeve. You know,
I can think of very few movies that are a one-to-one comparison, other than like Dante's Peak and Volcano or something like that. I don't know.
I don't think this is the one-to-one comparison that you're making it out to be. I don't think this is the one-to-one. I mean, there are some similarities, yes, and like Coogler's acknowledged that. He's acknowledged that From Dusk Till Dawn was an influence. He said it in so many words, but yeah. I think it's a stretch to say that it's that one-to-one.
All right, fair enough.
Like, this movie doesn't turn on a dime the way From Dusk Till Dawn does.
It kind of does, though. I mean, there's the kind of flashback cuts at the beginning of it when he enters the church, so we know there's something going on. But then it's well into the end of the second act before we really get a indication that there's some supernatural elements to it.
Yeah, but it's just not quite as sudden.
Yeah. All right, whatever. Well, yeah. I would agree to disagree.
Yeah, but we agree that Sinners is the lock-on winner here, right?
100%, yes.
Yeah, do you think there's a spoiler in this category at all? Like,
so
I don't...
I can't really speak to a few of them that I haven't seen, but Sentimental Value has a little bit of a buzz around it.
Yeah, but I feel like that's more for the performances than it is for the screenplay.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, and, you know, same for Blue Moon. I loved Blue Moon. I think it's a brilliant movie, but this is going to be Sinners.
It's just a great... that Marty Supreme could have easily won in any other year is just an indication of how stacked this is.
Yeah. We've got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line, and we are going through the Academy Award nominations. The Academy Awards are coming up on Sunday, just one short day from now, depending on when you're listening. And we have been kind of going through the some of the major categories, talking about who we think will win, who we think should win. And we're going to get into the acting categories now. We're up to Best Supporting Actress. Nominations here are Elle Fanning for Sentimental Value, Inga Ibsdotter Lilias for Sentimental Value, Amy Madigan for Weapons, Wonmi Masaku for Sinners, and Tiana Taylor for One Battle After Another. Now, this is a really interesting category to me, Jeremy, because this is the only nomination for Weapons, which is a really great horror film if you haven't seen it. It's unusual for a horror film to get an acting nomination. This one's really, I think, well-deserved. You know, Amy Madigan, it is very much a supporting role, even though her character kind of drives a lot of the action in the film without giving any spoilers. And it is a very unique and indelible performance. It is probably the least serious of all of these films in some ways. Sinners is kind of a horror film too, in fairness. So we do have two horror films nominated in this category, but Sinners has been kind of elevated to another level beyond the level that Weapons has been in many ways. So I want to talk about my reasoning here for why I think, I personally think Amy Madigan's going to win this. I think that you have these two ladies from Sentimental Value that are going to kind of cancel each other out. You know, people that want to vote for that movie, they're going to vote for one or the other. They're probably not all going to get behind one of them. You have this situation with Teyana Taylor's role in One Battle After Another, and she has won an award here or there, but this is a very controversial character that a lot of us, specifically a lot of the Black community, is not real happy with. And a lot of the Black community is not real happy with this movie in a lot of ways, which is a whole interesting debate. Versus Sinners, which the Black community is very much behind. And I think that if it's not Amy Madigan, it's going to be Wonmi Masaku.
Yeah.
But I think that this performance in Weapons just stands out so much versus Wonmi Masaku's performance is a little more subtle. And I also think that Amy Madigan is somebody with such a long history in Hollywood that is so well liked in that community. I feel like this is her year.
Yeah, I think you make a really compelling case, and I co-sign all of that. I think that Weapons has kind of been elevated, but not in the same kind of critical circles as something like Sinners. However, the fact that Madigan's performance is such an outlier makes you kind of have to look at it and be like, there's something to this. And I do think there's a specificity in it, and it definitely leaves an impression. And what's more important in a voter's mind, right?
Yeah, and as far as Weapons being elevated, I mean, I don't disagree. It was very well reviewed, and the fact that it's nominated at all is very telling. But there's a difference between one nomination and a record-breaking number of nominations.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
So, you know, you can't really say it's been elevated to the same level that Sinners has been elevated to. But this is, I personally, and this is, we're going to get into where things are going to get a little bit more controversial from here on out. I'm predicting a very big night for Sinners. Maybe possible to my personal detriment as a prognosticator. But I feel like there's something in the water, and this is one of the few categories where I'm actually picking against Sinners. So speaking of, let's move on to, best, supporting actor nominees here. Benicio del Toro for One Battle After Another, Jacob Elordi for Frankenstein, Delroy Lindo for Sinners, Sean Penn for One Battle After Another, and Stellan Skarsgård for Sentimental Value. Now, most of these actors have won something in the run-up to this. There's not a clear front-runner in this category. Benicio del Toro got a lot of Critics Groups awards and festival awards. Sean Penn has started winning a lot of awards in this last little run-up, including the Screen Actors Guild Award. Jacob Elordi won the Critics' Choice and is really great as the Frankenstein's monster in Frankenstein. And Stellan Skarsgård picked up, I think, the Golden Globe and the, I want to say maybe the BAFTA for Sentimental Value, and his first nomination ever in a long running career for Stellan Skarsgård. But also first nomination ever for Delroy Lindo, and a very well-respected actor with a long career that a lot of people felt was robbed for not getting nominated for Defy of Bloods a few years back. And has not gotten a lot of these precursor awards, but I feel like there's this groundswell behind him and behind Sinners. And this is probably my biggest wild card pick of the night. I think Delroy Lindo is going to take it.
You know, to your, the case you made about supporting actress, there's definitely a world where Sean Penn and Benicio del Toro split the votes.
I agree.
I think I would probably pick Benicio del Toro. I also would not have any issues with Delroy Lindo winning for Sinners. I think he is fantastic in that movie. So there's a couple different directions this could go but I think if I was going to pick best supporting, It's going to go to Stellan Skarsgård.
Okay. And I think anybody can win this one.
Yeah, I agree.
I really do. This is the hardest category to prognosticate on. It really does feel like anybody could win it. So we're going to move from that to possibly the easiest category to prognosticate in, and that is Best Actress. Nominees here, Jessie Buckley for Hamnet, Rose Byrne for If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, Kate Hudson for Song Sung Blue, Renate Renciv for Sentimental Value, and Emma Stone for Begonia. Now, there's a number of nominations that are just outright missing here. First of all, Chase Infinity not getting nominated for one battle after another is insane.
Yeah.
It is an incredible performance. It's one of the best performances of the year, and it is very much a lead performance. There is some sentiment that if she had gone for supporting rather than lead, that she might have had a better chance, but I appreciate her not participating in category fraud. I think it's a shame she wasn't nominated. I also think that it's a shame that Hailee Steinfeld is not nominated for Sinners. I think it's a really strong performance. I think it's a performance that Hailee Steinfeld had to bring a lot of herself to in. And I kind of get the argument for the optics of nominating for her in this, in that she played the white passing character and she is herself maybe could be considered white passing, even though she is multi-ethnic. But it's such a key role and she's so key to the success of this movie that I think it's a shame that she's not nominated. Now, am I saying that she's better or that Chase Infinity is better than any of the people that were actually nominated? Not necessarily. But am I saying that I feel like there was maybe a better space in there for them than Kate Hudson in a movie that's the only nomination it got? Or for Emma Stone, who's already won twice, and a movie that I kind of thought was just kind of middling? Personally, you know, I could make that argument. I'm not making that same argument against Rose Byrne. I haven't seen If I Had Legs, I'd Kick You, but everything I've heard about this film,
very good in it.
The movie is her, is my understanding. It's the only nomination the film got, but like the film rises and falls on her performance. So I have respect for when an actor can hold up an entire film on their own performance. So while I haven't seen this, I can't knock this the way I can kind of knock Song Sung Blue. That's definitely more of a, at the very least, a two-hander between Kate Hudson and Hugh Jackman. And Hugh Jackman didn't get a nomination for it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and is some of this because people like Kate Hudson and they like her family?
Uh-huh.
You know, you have to wonder. But, you know, awards have been decided on that kind of thing too. So, you know, the fact that she got in kind of speaks a lot to that. But that being said, this is the surest lock that's not called K-pop Demon Hunters.
Okay.
Jessie Buckley's winning this for Hamnet. She has won every single precursor award in this category. Every single one. There has been no competition. There's not been like one outlier where it's gone to Rose Byrne or somebody else. It has been Jessie Buckley all the way. It is a powerhouse tour de force performance. She is very lucky in that her follow-up film that has been fairly widely panned, The Bride, didn't come out until after voting ended.
Uh-huh.
So that can't really detract from her victory lap here. There's just no question here. Is there any question in your mind that that's where this is going?
Of course, is Rose Byrne. Again, on this list, I've only seen Begonia of any of these, but I do feel like, yes, the smart bet would be Jessie Buckley. I love Rose Byrne and wouldn't mind seeing her get a little bit of flowers.
Yeah, agreed. I love her too, but yeah, this is not her year. We got to take a break. Yeah. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
They're gonna put me in the movies. They're gonna make the big star out of me. We'll make the film about a man that's sad and lonely. And all I gotta do is act naturally. Well, I'll bet you I'm gonna be a big star. Might win an Oscar, you can't make me a big star, cause I can play the part so well. Well, I hope you come to see me in the movie, then I know that you will plainly see the biggest fool that's ever hit the big time. And all I gotta do is act naturally.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch on the line, and we are talking about the Academy Award nominations. The Academy Awards are coming up on Sunday on a TV or streaming service near you. You can go search them out wherever you'd like. But we've been going through and giving our opinions on what's likely to win and what we think deserves to win. And we are up to Best Actor. This is another category that's been a little bit all over the place in the Precursor Award. So there's some suspense around this one. Nominees are Timothée Chalamet for Marty Supreme, Leonardo DiCaprio for One Battle After Another, Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon, Michael B. Jordan for Sinners, and Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent. Now, this is, like I said, there's been some moving around here and some shifting around and some, this guy's the lead. No, this guy's the lead. No, this guy's the lead. I think that we have kind of settled out in that Timothée Chalamet has ruined any chance of this being his year with his recent comments about ballet and opera being dead art forms.
Talk about misinterpreting what your man said, but who am I?
I'm not necessarily saying that's what he said, but that's what the perception is.
Yeah.
And I think that
we read and don't listen.
I think that hurt his campaign. And
yeah, it did.
Is Timothée Chalamet eventually going to win an Oscar? Yes, he is. That being said, like, I don't feel like the momentum is there for this movie. It's been a divisive movie. Like, people have either loved it or hated it. People have loved or hated the character. Like, I don't think this was ever Timothée Chalamet's to lose.
All right. What do you think?
I also don't think that this is Leah's year. Despite One Battle After Another being so highly thought of. Like, I don't feel like the drive has been behind him.
No, I agree.
Yeah, and unfortunately, the same for Ethan Hawke, who gives a brilliant performance in Blue Moon. He is just absolutely fantastic. He's riveting throughout the whole film. He is the centerpiece of the film.
One of the best working.
I just don't think that enough people have seen the film. And It's interesting because there is a new rule this year. We hadn't talked about it this yet. There is a new rule this year for Academy Award voters, in that the ballots are now linked to the Oscars digital screening room. And if you do not show record digitally of having watched all the movies in the category, you are not allowed to vote in the category. Now, you can click to assert that, yes, I've seen that movie, because they're not just requiring people to have only watched them digitally. Obviously, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences wants people to go to theaters. So they do have the opportunity to say, yes, I saw this in a theater versus not watching it on the digital screener that was provided online. But so there's a bit of an honor system going on there. And I have read a lot of articles in the trades and other media where they've gone out and talked to Oscar voters. And there've been a couple that said, yeah, you know what? I'm lying. I'm voting in this category, even though I haven't seen everything. And these are done anonymously, obviously. And then There's been some that said, I'm not voting in this category because I did not have time to watch all of these movies. So that may be a factor in where some of these awards go. And that does factor in kind of somewhat into how I'm making my predictions here. I think Michael B. Jordan has won a couple of these, and I think that this is his year. I think that playing twins, and really, in a sense, really playing three different roles in this movie, because with the spoiler here, one of these characters gets turned into a vampire, and arguably that is a third character. And I'm not the only one that's made that argument, because I've heard it made by Academy Award-winning actors. And why has her name gone out of my head right now? One of his biggest supporters in this role has been, I can't believe I'm having to ask it this way, but what's your face that plays Amanda Waller?
Octavius, no. Don't put me in this situation. I'm about to start naming random people.
I cannot believe I cannot think of this actor's name. I'm going to kick myself when I look it up here in just a moment. But anyway,
yeah.
I feel like this is probably Michael Jordan's year. Michael B. Jordan's year. Viola Davis. For God's sake. How did I not remember Viola Davis's name?
There we go.
Yeah. He won the Screen Actors Guild Award. He's won a couple of the others. There's been some movement for maybe Wagner Moura, but I feel like this is Michael B. Jordan's year. What do you think?
Oh, 100%. The playing twins thing has a showiness to it. However, that's not to take away from the fact that Smoke and Stack are completely different people. Each of them feels like they are so... Michael B. Jordan was so thoughtful in constructing two characters that are clearly brothers, clearly twins, but have very distinct personalities and characteristics and mannerisms and all of that. I think it would be insane not to give it to Michael B. Jordan.
All right. So we'll move on to Best Director then. Nominees here, Paul Thomas Anderson for One Battle After Another, Ryan Coogler for Sinners, Josh Safdie for Marty Supreme, Joachim Trier for His Sentimental Value, and Chloe Zhao for Hamnet. Chloe Zhao, of course, has won before. She won for Nomadland a couple of years ago. Everybody else in this category has never won, and I believe most of them are first-time nominees. Anderson is not, but I believe even Coogler didn't get nominated for Black Panther, I don't think, or for Creed or for Fruitvale Station. No, I don't believe so. I believe this might be Coogler's first nomination. And that's where the horse race is here. It's Paul Thomas Anderson versus Ryan Coogler. Like everybody else is, they've got a copy of the home game. The honor is just being nominated.
Yeah.
So the question becomes, is this a career crowning for Paul Thomas Anderson for a very well-liked film, but more for a well-liked career and for passing him over for films that he maybe should have won for, like There Will Be Blood or Boogie Nights or Licorice Pizza or you know, any number. Yeah, there's so many. Or is this a recognition for Ryan Coogler of the a relatively short but also brilliant career with not a bad movie and you know him ascending to the level of auteur with this film? You know, this is an original concept. You know, this is his original film, his original screenplay. This is not based on some other IP. It's a tough call. And I feel like there are people that are going to split their votes to try to award both movies. And I feel like maybe that's where I'm calling for an upset here. And I think Ryan Coogler is going to win it. This is the one I feel like the most like I'm going to possibly be wrong about. But I'm calling this for Ryan Coogler. What do you think?
I think my determining factor is twofold. It's the career of Paul Thomas Anderson, and it's stripping everything else away and saying which was the best directed movie of the year. It's One Battle After Another.
Okay.
We split that right down the middle. That's probably what we're going to see at the Academy Awards, but time will tell.
This one could go either way, and I realize that One Battle After Another is very heavily favored by the odds makers and by all of the, you know, experts and predictions and all that, but this is my wild card here. One of my wild cards. I have a feeling this is going to be a bigger night for Sinners than people realize. And part of the reason I'm saying that is I've read a lot of insider articles that have said things like, I know this person's going to win, but I'm voting for this person. And when that comment is being said multiple times, and every time it's One Battle versus Sinners, and the person is saying, I'm going Sinners, you know, at some point that weighs.
It tips the scale. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
which brings us to Best Picture. And that is where the weight on the scale matters more than any other award, because every other category at the Oscars is decided by a pure plurality of the vote. Best picture is a ranked choice voting. So what that means is the person fills out a ballot and ranks the movies from 1 to 10. If no one movie, if the movie that has the most first place votes does not have a plurality, does not have 50% plus one, they then eliminate all the 10th place votes and count again. So this is where second place matters a lot. Nominees: Begonia, F1, Frankenstein, Hamnet, Marty Supreme, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, Sentimental Value, Sinners, and Train Dreams. I think everybody agrees that this comes down to One Battle After Another and Sinners. And I feel like One Battle After Another is a little bit more polarizing of a film than some of these others. And I feel like Sinners is going to be a lot of people's second place vote. And I feel like that's what's going to allow Sinners to take the top spot here and win the Academy Award for Best Picture. What do you think?
And this is I agree with you 100%. I feel like Best Picture probably should go to Ryan Coogler for Sinners. And I feel that there has been a bit more of a critique of One Battle After Another from the people who it was perhaps pandering or catering to a little bit. So I think that is definitely going to be detrimental to it. And I haven't heard anybody say a bad thing about Sinners, really.
Well, we will see how it goes on Sunday night. We might have egg on our face next week, but we'll find out. Until then, you're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.